It's a Fan Prié Monday night. Merrick Mondays returning in just a few minutes. Monday Night Hockey on the network. Plus, we're hot off the news of Ottawa Senators firing head coach DJ Smith. Lots to get into there. Brent Wellis will join us on the back half of the show. Justin Cuthbert and Ailish Forfar here, of course, back to your regularly scheduled programming. Before we did get into the show, I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for everybody, for the outpouring of kind messages and support in response to my personal message that I shared last week. If you haven't had a chance to see it, I encourage you to check it out on my social media pages, and I'll just issue a content warning because it's a bit of a sensitive subject. But I made the decision to share my story publicly because I think, and I hope with my platform, I would help people to know that if they've experienced something similar, that they're not alone. And I hope to dedicate this next chapter of my life to driving meaningful and lasting change in our sporting society. And so I'm really grateful for the community I have here at Sportsnet. I felt all the love and support the last couple of days. And of course, those in my own personal life as well. Excited to be back. Somebody that's not back, DJ Smith. He is no longer with the Ottawa Senators. Jacques Martin stepping in as the interim head coach with Daniel Alfredson. What decade is this, Justin?
Yeah, this is definitely a little bit of a throwback. I wonder with the Senators, and welcome back, Ailish. Very happy to have you back. Is there a little regret that this didn't happen before? Because over the span of, I think, 6 weeks now, they've fired their general manager and coach. And you would think that, you know, there's a new ownership and a new voice in Steve Staios, who's kind of running the ship here, that they were going to make these changes anyway. And if they could have done it in one fell swoop and not had this drag on and be as sloppy as it has been, I think they probably would have picked up on that option. So I wonder if they're experiencing any regret getting to the point that we've talked about pretty much since the lifetime of this show. Why is the leash so long for DJ Smith? Well, it finally reached its end today.
Well, let's ask Jeff Merrick, our Merrick Monday guest. Of course, Jeff, I was listening today on 32 Thoughts in the Jeff Merrick show, how, you know, the Sens might not want to be reactionary on all this. And then, as soon as you guys get off the air, DJ Smith fired. I wonder for you, like, why is it today? Why is it right when you get off the air? Maybe they didn't want you to cover it, but the team publicly backing him for a while. Yeah. And then on a Monday at 2:30 p.m., it happens.
Yeah, it's like waivers, waivers gets reported at 2:00 Eastern when I go off the air as well. So I can blah, 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 blah about someone. And then I get off the air like, he's on waivers? What? welcome to my life. Okay, first of all, I think we have to go way, way back on this one. And I think there's a couple of things. And this sort of season has, I don't know, to give it a soft landing, it's been awkward for Michael Andlauer. First of all, let's not forget, he didn't get the team until late. There was still a lot of crossing T's and dotting I's. Like, let's not forget, he didn't get the team in June. This went into the summer. So even if he wanted, and into the fall, really, even if he wanted to enact all these changes and put personnel together, he just didn't have time, nor did Steve Staios. And the plan from day one with the Ottawa Senators was go through the season with Pierre Dorion as the general manager, go through the season with DJ Smith as the head coach. Let's not come in here and drive a tornado right through the trailer park. Like, the idea was calm. The idea was there's new ownership. Everybody's worried. Let's make sure that everybody is calm at every element and every level of this organization. But then the Dodonov situation happened. The Shane Pinto situation happened. Coupling with the Dodonov situation, Pierre Dorion was relieved of his duties. They were relieved of a first-round draft pick. And now we have the situation with DJ Smith. And it was almost like it had become a knee-jerk reaction or almost a default setting with Ottawa Senators fans in Ottawa. I felt awful. I think we all did. Like, we understand it's a results-oriented business. Sorry, first day, new tongue. It's a results-oriented business, so you live and die based on your record. We all get that. But I think we all felt bad for the person because after every Ottawa Senators loss at home, we heard fire DJ chants. We actually heard fire DJ chants pretty early in the season. There was that game on the Saturday afternoon against Philadelphia where we started to hear fire DJ chants, and they just continued, and they got louder. And it was after every game. And I'll tell you what, you know, I always remember what Brian Burke talked about with Ron Wilson. He said it was becoming, you know, I felt that I was a bad person, you know, making him go out there game after game after game when the Fire Wilson chants were going. He said it felt inhumane and he wanted to put Ron Wilson out of his misery. So everything sort of went the opposite of how Andlauer and Steos planned. Some of it was their doing. Some of it wasn't their doing. I would argue the majority of it wasn't their doing. The plan was for everything to be calm, everything to be quiet, just get through the year and then start to make changes. As we've seen, quite the opposite has happened here.
Yeah, and Merrick, if they're calculating risk, I think maybe they thought it was pretty low risk to just be patient, right? Because they could make their decisions eventually over time. They could continue to evaluating, but only if it was this bad, right? Like, it had to get to a point where they had to make these decisions because there are things that are happening off the ice, but on the ice, results are what matter the most, and it just wasn't working. But I feel like they probably looked at it thinking, yeah, these centers are going to be pretty good. Our team's going to be pretty good. We don't have to rush to make these decisions because this team should be better than what it's at least shown.
I think we all know where this is going with the Ottawa Senators. This is a really, really good team. Now, a couple of different times under Pierre Dorion, it was hot-shotted, and they brought in players that the team wasn't ready for. Like, when you look back on it now, this team wasn't ready for Alex DeBrincat. You could even make the argument this team wasn't ready for Claude Giroux. This team wasn't ready for Jacob Chychrun. These are pieces generally that you bring in at the end of rebuilds. And it was probably a misread by the Ottawa Senators organization to try to hotshot this thing and say, hey, think that we're closer to being an elite level team than they really were. And did that set the Ottawa Senators back? It probably did. But I think you're right, Justin. We all know that where this thing is headed is a really good spot. It's just going to take a little while to get there. And there's going to be a couple of car crashes on the way and some awkward moments. I do think that what they're going through now ultimately does make them a better team. And much like the Buffalo Sabres, and I think you can make the argument the Detroit Red Wings as well. We'll see how they make out tonight. But with Patrick Kane, they're 1-5. It's really hard to take that next step in the NHL. Like, it's hard to go from bad to good. Like, it's hard to go up any level from good to great, but really from bad to good, just to get to respectability. We're seeing how hard it is. Buffalo has struggled. They can't do it. Ottawa has struggled. They can't do it. Listen, this is supposed to be a season where the Columbus Blue Jackets made a big stab. Redo the defense. I know the Babcock situation, that was nuclear in the offseason, but they were supposed to take a step here. It is flat out hard to take steps with young organizations in the NHL. But I think you're right. We all can see where this is going. And I don't think that long-term Jacques Martin and Daniel Alfredson are going to be the pair behind the bench. I do wonder if, you know, now the plan is have them ride out the end of the season and then whomever the next general manager is, that person makes a decision on who his coach is going to be.
Yeah, talking about steps, it's like we step back into a time machine. Jacques Martin, Alfredson on the bench. It's such a weird visual, I'm sure, for Sens fans. But
where's Martin Havlat?
Maybe not. When you look at these moves that were maybe even like premeditated, do you think there was any like preparation in advance thinking like, let's get these guys back in the fold and then, here, now we have our replacement ready?
Great question. I think that there are a lot of eyebrows that were raised when the Ottawa Senators went to Stockholm and for the Global Series. And, look, there's Daniel Alfredson on the bench. And then there's noise around DJ Smith and Jacques Martin comes in as a consultant. I did like a whole big opening on my show a couple of weeks ago when Jacques Martin was announced, and I had this elaborate, conspiracy theory about what this means and how this is going to all play out. And does DJ Smith want this? And what does this mean for the future of DJ Smith? And I got roasted over it, but now this is my victory lap. Thank you very much. Like, look, what I was saying essentially was, this was the soft landing hiring now for the Ottawa Senators, or this was a safety net hiring for the Ottawa Senators. You know, the idea that Jacques Martin was coming in, just as a consultant, hey, DJ Smith wants to bounce a couple of ideas off good old Jacques. Well, he's been around the block and out the door and around the block in a couple of different organizations, and he can help you, DJ, whenever you want. And I thought to myself, if I'm DJ Smith, do I want this? And the answer is no. If I'm DJ Smith, am I using Jacques Martin in this capacity? Not a chance. This is why Jacques Martin was brought in case Steve Staios and the Ottawa Senators had to make this decision, and it became really, really obvious that there was only a finite amount of time that unless the Ottawa Senators started winning, that they could keep firing him out there only to hear fire DJ chants. Like, it was a sort of negative cloud in the building. Like, the idea that the new ownership comes in and there's, you know, everyone's happy and the Sens are a better team and everyone's loving Ann Lauer and he's saying all the right things and loving Staios and all that, and then the puck drops and they're chanting fire the coach. It's a real negative energy in the building. And I think if you're the Ottawa Senators organization, you try to go out of your way to get the negative energy out of the building. And that's why, to your point as well, Ailish, about, you know, going back to the future here, it's two very familiar faces from Ottawa's background that are on the bench now, at least in an interim capacity. We'll see what happens towards the end of the season. But by the way, I thought the name Patrick Waugh might come up. So I did make some phone calls before the show. And as of right now, and again, as Elliot always says, everything can change with one phone call, Jeff. Everything can change with one phone call. As of right now, no one in the Ottawa Senators organization has reached out to Patrick Waugh or his representation. So it hasn't happened.
So
it won't, but it hasn't happened yet.
So not yet. And it'll be Jacques Martin. I mean, we assume until the end of the season. And they make this move, I guess, early enough so that they don't have to change their expectations or their objectives for this season. I guess they can still chase a playoff spot. They're still, you know, fifth worst points percentage in the league. But maybe it is a season that's lost already. So what are the objectives for the rest of the season? What are the objectives until you reach a trade deadline where you might want to sell off some parts? Like, how does Ottawa sort of reframe what they were bringing into the season to try to make it so that it's still a successful one?
I think it's a great question. And I think you're right. I think expectations have changed. I mean, unless they go on this St. Louis Blues circa 2018-19 heater, I don't think anyone's going to be talking about playoffs in the nation's capital at all. You know, I think we're still back at the, you know, are the young cornerstone pieces improving? How much better is Brady Tkachuk getting? How much better is Tim Stützle getting? How much better is Jake Sanderson getting? I think they still have a lot of work to do with the netminding. And I think a lot of Ottawa's fortunes may sort of hinge on how good Shane Pinto looks when he returns to the mix. And make no mistake about it, like, Shane Pinto's coming back. I think Shane Pinto's going to be a big part of this team almost immediately. But I think expectations are very much tempered right now. Not that I want to say, like, you just have to endure the season, because I still think that there are, you know, you guys know this, you've covered sports and played sports long enough. There are little sort of mini victories along the way. But I still think that the Ottawa Senators are very much in the phase of, are the young core pieces still getting better? And I also do think, in a situation like this, when you have pivoted so quickly and your expectations have changed, I think you really find out who really wants to be here. Like, you find out whether, you know, Jacob Chychrun's a year and a half away from free agency. Does he still want to be here? Vlad Tarasenko is on the single digit deal. Like, does he still want to be with the Ottawa Senators, or is there something you can do there? So I think there are still a lot of decisions to make that are on the horizon for the Ottawa Senators. But yeah, I think expectations have to be tempered unless they go on an absolute rip here. It's not going to be playoffs for the Ottawa Senators. So you say to yourself, who's getting better and by how much, and who still wants to be here?
We'll get more into the Ottawa Senators around 6:30 with Brent Wallace, but Merrick, will ask you a little bit about another return we had this weekend, Dubas.
Sure.
Probably maybe the least impactful and successful trip for him to the city of Toronto. I guess bigger question is, what's going to happen to this Pittsburgh Penguins team, this aging core? You got Sidney Crosby, who's playing like a vintage Sidney Crosby in a good way, but Dubas kind of showing the weathered feeling that it looked like when you're watching him in the press box. So what does this make you think about the current state of the Pittsburgh Penguins and what might be next, those difficult decisions he might have to make?
Time is undefeated. You know, we always talk about aging curves, and look at Alex Ovechkin, right? Like, you guys are very aware of that story right now that we're following, trending towards, what is it, 14 or 15 goal season this year. Like, you talk about careening off the cliff. I mean, time is undefeated. Has it caught up to the Pittsburgh Penguins? Sure looks like it now, except it hasn't caught up to Sidney Crosby. And there becomes the conundrum. How can you throw in the towel when Sidney Crosby is having a season like this? How can you squander a Sidney Crosby season like this. Because just to be blunt, and like, listen, Sidney Crosby is well accomplished. His place in hockey and hockey history is already cemented. Like, they already have the plaque ready at Yonge and Front Street at the Hall of Fame for Sidney Crosby. Like, there's nothing left to accomplish for Sidney Crosby. But can you really afford to squander a season like this, knowing that there may not be another one quite like this from Sidney Crosby? Like, if somehow miraculously he gets his team into the playoffs, he's going to get a lot of Hart Trophy consideration. He really is. And I always make the argument Sidney Crosby should always be in the Hart Trophy conversation, because he sets a work rate and a tempo for the team that everybody has to follow. It's almost as if he embarrasses people into working at that level and competing at that level. I remember Colby Armstrong telling the story when he first went into the gym when he got to Pittsburgh, and he saw Sidney after a game, like, lifting heavy and sweating and pouring all out. And he went over to Crosby and he said, "Is there a league higher than the NHL that you're trying to get to that we don't know about? Like, you're already like the biggest star in the NHL and you're working harder than anybody." That's Sidney Crosby. But can you afford to double down when this team has underperformed? And I think, like, as much as Kyle Dubas and Jason Spezza will, you know, they'll say, "Oh, it's just another game. It's just a Tuesday in Minnesota. It's just a Thursday in Columbus. Ah, it's just a Saturday hockey night in Canada. Millions of viewers in Toronto on a Saturday night." They may play it off like it's just another game, but you know that one hurt. That was the return of Kyle Dubas. Like, look, let's face it. It wasn't exactly a smooth departure for Kyle Dubas. I mean, listen, we got a lot of mileage. Like, that whole saga was a protein shake for all of us in sports media. That was fantastic, right? Like, every single day. Well, show's done today. Here's the next chapter in the Dubas v. Shanahan saga. You know that one hurt. Like, you know that one stung. And I would imagine that he has to be really disappointed in a lot of those players to lay that egg against that team on that night on that show. Everybody watches on Saturday night. You cannot hide anything. That was a even though he won't say it publicly, that was a tough one for Kyle Dubas. And I feel bad for him. That was his team not showing up.
Yeah, but you could see that team is a little bit weathered. They definitely did not have a great performance. But to suggest that they could build something off that core that does look like it's really, really near the end of the line. If he thought he was in a tight box in Toronto, I think he's going to be feeling pretty claustrophobic in Pittsburgh as well.
It's a great point. Now, the feeling, whether it was going to be Kyle Dubas who ended up in that position or any of the other candidates, I think what Pittsburgh was looking for was someone who could show that the Pittsburgh Penguins could still be competitive, I don't know, sixth or seventh in the conference. So every year you get into the playoffs knowing full well you're not going to do anything when you get there. Maybe you win around one of the years, but just be competitive enough to get into the playoffs, have a successful season that way, all the while, you know, rebuild the American Hockey League team, restock the shelves with prospects as well, so that when the, you know, Crosby, Letang, and Malkin are ready to waddle off to the Hall of Fame, they'll have the next version of the Pittsburgh Penguins ready. So it doesn't matter if it's Kyle Dubas or who else was coming in as to run this organization. That was the directive from up on high.
I have to talk about Monday Night Hockey before we let you go. Montreal and Winnipeg tonight, an exciting all-Canadian matchup. But my focus goes to Gabe Vilardi. He's almost as productive as Dubois has been in about half the game so far. Jets fans are feeling really good about themselves, that being just one piece. Should they be feeling as good as they are about the Gabe Vilardi acquisition this summer?
Gabe, I'm biased because I really like the player, and I'm going to be that guy, sorry to do it to you, ever since I saw him in junior. Like, I watched him a ton in Windsor. Like, and you still see it in the NHL. Dots down, he's an animal. Dots down is where that guy really performs. Like, red line to red line, he's not going to be in the fastest skater competition. We all know that about Gabe Vilardi. But dots down, this guy's a remarkable player. And you're right, he's got 4 goals in 11 games, and Pierre-Luc Dubois has 5 in 26 games, I believe, just doing that off the top of my head. I said it at the time, and I know that there was a lot of, well, what are you talking about? Like, they just gave up a superstar in Pierre-Luc Dubois. Pierre-Luc Dubois didn't work out in Columbus. Pierre-Luc Dubois seemed almost the minute that he got to Winnipeg, was looking for a way out. We can recall his agent at the draft talking about Montreal, and he wants to go there and blah, 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 blah. He gets what he wants. He goes to Los Angeles, gets the big, you know, set yourself up for the future contract. And I remember saying, he'd be like, don't sleep on Gabe Vilardi. You're going to love Gabe Vilardi in Winnipeg. And outside of the injury, which was a pretty big setback, this guy has really delivered for Winnipeg. They should feel good about him. It's going to be tough sledding without Kyle Connor. That's an injury that really hurts. But this is an impressive lineup. Like, this really is. Scheifele's having a great year. Connor Hellebuck is having a great year. A very unheralded defense as well. And I have a lot of decisions to make on a couple of players who are unrestricted, but there's a lot of good youth on that blue line. They're going to have to sift through and decide who's going to be here and who's not. And up front, like, they have a lot of guys. Like, we talk about the work rate that Crosby sets. How about the work rate that Adam Lowry sets for everybody as well? Or Mark Scheifele sets for everybody too? Like, they let go of Pierre-Luc Dubois in that trade. That was it for Blake Wheeler with the buyout, and they seem to have come out the other end a much better and highly competitive team. Like, we haven't seen a team in Winnipeg compete this hard since Dustin Byfuglien was there. Like, that's how good this team is. Like, they are legit. As for Montreal, all eyes for me are on Josh Anderson. 2 goals on Saturday. I love what Martin St. Louis said about him. I don't quit on a player until that player quits on himself. Love Marty St. Louis. Anderson hasn't quit. He's been snake bit, but great to see him score last week, and then great to see him score a pair on Saturday.
We got that one on Monday Night Hockey at 7 o'clock, followed by Florida and Calgary, which would be a good one for Matthew Tkachuk. Appreciate your time today, Jeff. Great to have you on a Monday, and we'll chat soon.
Ailish?
Yes.
Ailish, you're a beautiful person, and we love you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. We're going to go now. Talk to you soon, Jeff. Thanks so much. Jeff Merrick, of course, of The Jeff Merrick Show and 32 Thoughts, the podcast. Okay, so speaking of tonight's Monday Night Hockey, I've got, you know it, my Bet Rivers pick comes from a little bit of a revenge angle. So time now for Between the Lines, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Take a chance. Matthew Tkachuk back in Calgary. Ooh, he'll be booed, I'm sure, and he will love that, and I'm sure he'll elevate his play. So I actually have kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure. Matthew Tkachuk first goal would be plus 800, but we'll play it safe and we'll do an anytime goal plus 128 on Bet Rivers. I think that he will be out for some blood tonight, and he'll want to prove that he's in a better spot, and nothing like going home to see your ex.
He is in a better spot. You got to give Matthew Tkachuk credit. I don't know where that ranks among like prescient player decisions, but him wanting to leave and ending up where he did, I do wonder about Brady Tkachuk now that things are going the way they're going in Ottawa, but I don't think we're there just yet. I'm doing a futures cuff today. It's a futures cuff day for taking a chance on Josh Allen MVP. Now, Brock Purdy just had a brilliant performance. He's now minus money to win the NFL MVP, and he has got way more passing yards, way more passing touchdowns. Allen has twice as many interceptions as Brock Purdy. But if you look at total touchdowns, Josh Allen is 37. Brock Purdy has 31. That's passing and rushing. And more importantly, Brock Purdy's asking you to vote for someone else. He wants you to vote for Christian McCaffrey. Buffalo Bills have 3 winnable games down the stretch. They could steal the division from the Miami Dolphins. Everyone's going to be talking about Buffalo. Everyone's going to be talking about Josh Allen. If they can beat the Chargers, then the Patriots, then the Dolphins, they'll finish 11-6. The whole football world will be talking and wanting to vote Josh Allen, NFL MVP, plus 1,200 today. I think that's going to go down by the time we get to the end of the season.
I just worry that the voters have already filled their ballots.
There's plenty of football left.
You know my bills, my heart. Because it just, you know, it's been the Brock Purdy show.
It has been the Brock Purdy show.
And you can get so into the Brock Purdy show that you just move on with thinking about the other candidates. Like, where's Lamar Jackson getting any love, really?
I mean,
right?
He's in there, but his numbers aren't like Purdy's, and they're not like Josh Allen's.
I think you laid out a wonderful case, and you know me. Bills gal, but I
can't convince you to bet on anything Bills because you don't want to mix business with pleasure.
That's it. I was hurt by betting on Shohei Ohtani to become a Blue Jay, and so now I am just not touching what my heart wants. I'm just going to gamble on Matthew Tkachuk getting the first goal of the game tonight. And the Detroit,
the safer bet.
And the Detroit Pistons finally winning a game, all right? That's our squad ride tonight. They're going to win, and then they don't have to have their win against the Toronto Raptors, which would be terrible. All right, so that was Between the Lines brought to you by Bet Rivers. Take a chance. We'll be back on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, with Brent Wallace to help us get a little bit deeper into what happened in Ottawa, why now, what's next. Is this a blast from the past that's going to stand, or is it just a fill in for now? So we'll take a break. Brent Wallace after the break.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on the Fan pregame. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Eilish Forvar, Justin Cuthbert. Big news of the day, of course, the Ottawa Senators coaching change. Some familiar faces taken over. We'll see how long those last. But nonetheless, DJ Smith is out. And you've got some experience behind the net, behind the bench. Well, maybe behind that too.
Yeah, a lot of experience. Bench. I guess some inexperience for Daniel Alfredson, but definitely experience mm-hmm. with the Ottawa Senators and the Senators organization. It is, as you put it, a throwback to a previous generation, and we'll see if it works on the generation that's struggling to get wins right now for the Ottawa Senators.
Let's bring in Brent Wallace, host of the Coming In Hot podcast. I know you guys are probably pumping out content today as soon as the news dropped, but I wonder for you, your first reaction of like, why today, right? Like, this has been something the fans have been calling for, not that the fans make the decisions, but, you know, it was loud in Ottawa. So what changed today? The 4-game losing streak and being the 29th team in the league, is that just good enough?
Yeah, I mean, it just seemed like it was time. You could see body language. I think the body language is the worst, right? I even think DJ's body language on the bench was just he didn't have any answers anymore, and it seemed like the players didn't have any answers on the ice. Don't forget the last two games against Dallas and against Vegas, they had the leads, mm-hmm. and then they gave up the leads, and they just collapsed. They collapse every time, and there was just no more time for them to keep doing. They just had to step in. They didn't want to. They had longer breaks earlier in this year before they went to Sweden and after, where they would have been easier to make a change. But Steve Staios, the president of hockey ops, didn't really want to have to do it right now. Don't forget, I mean, they fired the GM earlier in Pierre Dorion. They just didn't want all this change to really disrupt things. But there was just nothing left. They had to do it.
So why were they so reluctant? I mean, Michael Andlauer just spent a whole lot of money on an NHL team. And for that reason, you'd think, yeah, you could probably pay two coaches if it was really going off the rails. It just seemed like they kind of wanted to skate through 12 months or one season and then put their mark on this franchise, or put it on their franchise, fully and completely. Why were they reluctant to do this? Why did they want to hang on as long as they could to DJ Smith?
Well, Justin, I think you got to go back to the summer. They wanted this franchise at the end of July. They tried desperately to make this deal happen. They couldn't do it, and they didn't get the keys, as they say, to the franchise until September. And by then, it was too late just to make any moves, really. If you wanted a head coach or you wanted a GM, well, he's maybe under contract now for the rest of the year, and you can't make this deal. So that's mostly why they wanted to ride it out. Also, Michael Andlauer, extremely patient. He wanted to make sure he came in and he found the right people in this organization. And everything that he wanted from people, he wanted to make sure he had in this organization. And so if that meant having to watch Pierre Dorion and watch DJ Smith for a while, then he was going to do that for the year. But fan apathy is huge right now. They almost want to burn the place down. They're so frustrated with how this has gone on. Now, don't forget, Andlauer inherited this group. He inherited Pierre Dorion and he inherited DJ Smith. And so he was like, okay, let's see what you got. But he just never changed. And in fact, it got worse. And Steve Staios said today, he's like, we discussed this, but then the team won 3 out of 5 and we thought they were turning the corner. And then they looked like they have in the last 4 games and they had to make a move.
So did it get to the point where DJ Smith just ran out of the support, ran out of the supporters? I mean, we all remember Brady Tkachuk standing mm-hmm. in front of the media and putting DJ Smith in front of the fans, at least in that moment in time. Did it get to the point where he just didn't have any? Well, go on for that.
But Justin, you've been around.
Ailish, no, I loved it. I loved it. I loved
players
it.
Say nonsensical things all the time. they're not going to say, well, man, I wish we could get a new coach in here, right? So they just, they say things just to keep the temperature down. But I really think in the room, there was some there's frustration. They're tired of losing. Thomas Chabot, I go back to all the time, is in his ninth season now, or eighth season. He's never played in the playoffs. That isn't even close. So Brady Tkachuk, all those, they now into 5 years, like never been in the playoffs. And so there's frustration of, we need some help here. We need to figure this out and get, it's not all on the players. It's not all on DJ Smith and Davis Payne, who was also fired today. But for 5 years, this system hasn't worked. Whether that, maybe it's the players who just don't understand how to do it. I don't know. But whatever it is, this defensive game is horrendous. And nobody understands, who's played the game, can tell me what they do in their own end. So something had to change. And I think the players, as much, look, I really like DJ Smith. I think DJ Smith is a fantastic human being. I just think it was time to move on. And so I think the players do too.
Yeah, and I think reaching that point was probably a good thing, because as long as there's some support and there's not that want to make that change, then I guess you can hang on and the leash could be as long as it was. But did, you know, something change within the last 2 weeks where it was just like, enough is enough? Is there a lost support from within the room where it was like, okay, that was like, there's no coming back from this?
So it's a good question. I don't know if it ever got to that point or if it just continued down the same path. And you're like, well, something has to change. You could feel something had to change, but management dead set on not doing it. They really didn't want to make this move this year. But you look at those four games, they just were completely outplayed. And then you have Jacques Martin, who is 12th or something in all-time games coached, almost 1,300 games. He knows this, obviously, this franchise. He's got Daniel Alfredson, who he helped mold into the Hall of Fame player he is. Jacques Martin is the perfect fit because he took a team back in 1996 who missed the playoffs in his first half season, and then they didn't miss the playoffs again. They were just like this group, a bunch of guys he started to make into players. Daniel Alfredson, Alexei Yashin, Radek Bonk, all these new guys. Then Marian Hossa came along. I think this is perfect. Wade Redden, another one. He's a great teacher. I think this is exactly what they need.
Do you see it as more than just an interim head coach role? Like, do you think that there's a potential that he gets to stay any longer? I mean, he's got the experience and he's done it before, but is this just a fill for this year?
This is a good one because, I mean, what if he goes, I don't know, 26 and 5 or something ridiculous, right? And maybe, but I don't think it's in the picture. Like, that's why I think they were holding off for so long until they find a GM who can hire the coach that he wants to put in there long term. And I don't know if Jacques wants to do that full time. I think he was quite happy being a senior advisor. And I don't think Alfie wants to be on the bench full time. He said he didn't want to travel. Now, things can change very quickly, as we all know. I think that there's a different coach to start of next season. But boy, if Jacques could run this team, it would be so exciting. I like it. Everything old is new again in Ottawa.
So what is the dream, assuming that Jacques Martin doesn't take them on this glorious run and he earns himself a permanent role? What is the dream corporate hierarchy for the Ottawa Senators? Like, what do they want this to actually look like? Obviously, Ann Lauer, Stejos involved in some capacity, whether it's a president or the general manager. But what do they like? How do they want this to look? What do they want to have once they're ready to actually, you know, without any strings attached, just put it all together?
So they want Steve Stejos to be the president, and that's it. They don't want him to be the GM. They want, as Michael Andlauer likes to call it, the two-headed monster, and then have a GM. Whether that GM is relatively new or if it's a seasoned vet, I don't know, because you have Steve Stejos there. And Steve carries a lot of weight. Let's not kid ourselves here. It's not like the general manager feels like he has carte blanche. I don't think that that's the case at all. I could be wrong. They could say that in the press release that we give him full carte blanche, but Steve Stejos has a huge impact in this organization. And then they had Daniel Alfredson, who they didn't have a role for at the moment. And so maybe a type of senior advisor for him. He wanted player development, but whatever he wants, he can almost write himself into it. Like, they have now a great depth, if they continue to keep Jacques Martin around afterwards, of a lot of voices with a lot of experience. You have a Hall of Fame guy on the ice. You've got this coach that's done a lot, who's been extremely successful He's won two Stanley Cups with Pittsburgh. He's coached the Olympic team, the assistant coach to the Olympic team, just in case anybody corrects me. But he's done a lot of stuff, and I think he's a fantastic teacher. So I think they keep them around. I think they keep the resources, but they need a GM, and I just wish they would find them soon. It just seems to be keeping everything in a wait-and-see period, and it may take till the end of the year.
Do they want Alfie to be the GM and just serve under Steos, who's making most of the decisions, and they're just trying to convince him to do it?
No. One, Alfie wouldn't do it that way because he would want to be able to be in control, which that's what made him great, was that he got to work his magic on the way he saw fit. I don't think he would want to be GM, and I don't think he wants to be, right now anyway, that involved in that you've got to be, like, to be a GM in the National Hockey League is, it just feels like it's 24/7, and I'm not sure that he wants that just yet.
We're chatting with Brent Wallace ahead after the DJ Smith era has ended. So let's talk about DJ Smith. Obviously, he was a familiar face here for a little bit, but why did it not work with Ottawa?
Well, let's be fair to him that he didn't have the greatest rosters ever built in hockey. So I will give him, his first few seasons was a struggle. Like, he finished 30th, 23rd, 26th. And then 2 years ago, 21st, when everybody thought they turned the corner, they were above 500. You could feel it. I should say 2 years ago, you could feel that they were making the turn, that this year they were going to build off that. And it didn't work. It just, now they're 29th in the league. And for whatever reason, and I don't think this roster is built properly. They're a soft team to play against, and they're just horrendous in their own end. They just, for whatever reason, will just do stupid stuff. And just all of a sudden now there's two guys in the corner where there should be one, and they're not in a lane, whatever. I don't know that that's coaching. A lot of people feel like there's not enough accountability, that players got to do whatever they wanted and they cheated a lot to create offense. I think this is the 10th highest scoring team in the league. But defensively, this team was atrocious in its own end, and it never got fixed. That's why the surprise today that Jack Campuano, who ran the D for the Ottawa Senators, didn't get fired. Instead, they fired the forward coach in Davis Payne, but that's because Alfie's coming in as a forward. There is some shock there that Jack Campuano is still around.
Is it a little too convenient to just blame the coaches right now? Like, obviously, the players are taking some of it, but we were just talking to Jeff Merrick about the exact situation, and he's like, you know where this is going. We know the Ottawa Senators are going to be good, but we've been saying this for a couple years now. And are we at the point, at least on the outside looking in, where we just overstate what they have built and what they have at this current moment, which is supposed to get them to the next level?
So two things. One, show me a good goaltender and I'll show you a great hockey team. Like, and I can't put this all on goaltending. It's easy because it's a singular position, but their save percentage is 28th, 29th, somewhere. It's at the bottom of the league. But then again, they're giving up two-on-ones every night. It's not easy being a goaltender for the Ottawa Senators. But if suddenly they had lights-out goaltending and they had a few more wins, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. I'm not putting this on goaltending. I'm putting this on team defense. But the other side of that is just, I don't know where it's headed. People say, well, this roster is built for success. Well, is it? I mean, they're a below 500 hockey team here consistently. I think there needs to be a big shakeup. I think they're going to have to move one of their big contracts and find a different makeup to this hockey team. Like I said, I think they're a soft team to play against. I think they need not sandpaper. They just need more physical play in their style. They just need to be able to run people. I'm not running through the boards, but play a harder game. They're just not very hard to play against.
Could we sell you a Ryan Reeves possibly?
No, we're good. No. I take it back.
Okay.
Not big enough. if you're okay, so you know, you mentioned a guy that's a high earner, someone that's locked up for long term. Like, who makes sense to go out the door?
So I think there's three untouchables in the Ottawa Senators, and that's Jake Sanderson, Brady Tkachuk, and Tim Stützle. After that, I think anybody and everybody should be on watch and should be and could be available. Don't call it a rebuild, fine. A retool, I don't care what you call it, but this roster doesn't seem to be built to win. So find me guys who are a little grittier, who want to pay the price, who want to play in their own end, and figure out how to play defense. Now, Jacques may be able to turn this around. Jacques, as I said, is a great teacher, a great defensive mind. So maybe he can make these guys play D, but if he can't, then there needs to be a shakeup. There needs to be a way to get this team jolted.
So what's the primary objective right now? Because, you know, you go into a season where the expectation is to make the playoffs, compete for the playoffs, and I don't know if they're completely out of it yet, but fifth worst points percentage, it's going to be tough in a really strong division. What is priority one? Is it trying to define who is going to be a part of the next generation or the after the semi-rebuild or slight retool, if you want to call it that? Like, is it just identifying who's going to be part of the solution? Is it going to be identifying who could go out the door before the trade deadline? Or is it, hey, it's all about winning right now and they've got to give themselves the best chance to salvage this season?
Well, fans are talking about using the lottery simulator now instead of, are we going to be in the playoffs? So, it seems people are started to point towards next year, and it's hard to argue when you're sitting where you are in the standings. It looks like it's, unfortunately, going to be, I don't want to call it a wasted season, but it's going to be a season where, again, there's no postseason. And that becomes really tough. That's a hard one for people to buy into, and they've been promised so much for so long. Pierre Dorion was telling them every year for the last 2-3 years that, this is it. We got a playoff team. Well, they're nowhere near the playoffs. In fact, they're going backwards. So it's time to figure out what this roster is made out of, what they need to get on it to figure out how to be successful. There are great pieces, as we've all talked about, but it doesn't make them a great hockey team. And right now, they're not a very good hockey team.
Last one for you, Brent. There was rampant enthusiasm about Michael Andlauer when he took over the team this summer. It might have been later than they envisioned, but he took over nonetheless, and we all knew what was going to happen for longer than at least he's had control. Has his approval rating taken any sort of hit during this chaos?
Yeah, but let's not put this on Michael Andlauer. The guy has been around for 4 months, and all of a sudden we're now turning on him because he didn't fire the coach after 10 games?
I'm not turning on him, just asking.
No, I just, this one frustrates me because they asked for change. The fans wanted a new owner. They wanted a new GM. Well, listen, they brought in a new owner. Steve Staios is now the president, which they didn't have. They're going to get a GM. They've fired the GM that you wanted fired. They've now fired the coach. But before that, they brought in Daniel Albertson back. They brought Cyril Leader in as president. He's done an awful lot of change. And so I think he's earned the right so far to continue on with what he thinks is working and how to fix it. It's not going to be instant. And in fact, Jacques Martin, if people think Jacques Martin going behind the bench is suddenly going to reel off a 10-game winning streak, I think they're going to be sadly informed here. Like Bobby Ryan told me today, he goes, I think it's going to take them 20 games to try and figure out how to implement systems and get them working properly. Well, now you're 40-some games into the season, right? So I just think Michael Andlauer deserves a little bit more respect than just everybody being mad at him after 4 months of that he didn't fire everybody and hire Scotty Bowman and the greatest coaching staff in the history of hockey. Let's just pump the brakes a bit for a second. Just let him do what he wants to. That's why he's the owner. He's earned that right.
Well, it's going to be a fun change. Let's just say that. A fun new faces, old faces, familiar faces behind the benches. I'm sure there'll be lots of eyes on what Ottawa does next. And we were thinking maybe they do like what the Oilers did with the Knobloch. Like they just all came out, but then they don't have Connor McDavid. So it's kind of a little bit different to duplicate what Oilers did.
Yeah. the Oilers are a Stanley Cup favorite. I'll take that roster. Yeah. It'll be interesting. I am excited to see Jacques behind the bench because when I first started covering in Ottawa, he was behind the bench. So it feels like it's a really comfortable old sweater. I'm just really excited to see what he can do.
Awesome. Well, we'll get you on a little later down in the next like 10, 15 games and see how everything's looking in Ottawa. But we appreciate your time today. I know it was a busy one. We'll chat with you soon, Brent. Thanks.
Always time for you guys. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Brent Wallace, host of the Coming In Hot podcast. I guess we should start saying like happy holidays to people. It's like, this is the last week of our show.
It's kind of snuck up on us.
Happy holidays, Brent. We missed it.
Into the ether.
Brent.
Maybe we should, I don't know if we can talk about our Christmas spectacular on Friday. We got a little bit of a long show.
Friday, we got a fun one planned. It's kind of like, it's in the works, but it will be a 3-hour fan pregame.
Is it three? That's even longer than I expected.
It's like the fan pregame, the fan game, fan postgame, all in one show. We'll have lots of fun on Friday. Maybe do some fun holiday themed stuff. Like what's on the Ottawa Senators wish list?
That's actually a good one. They got what they wanted. I guess with Andlauer very quickly, it's like, I don't expect him to have a DJ Smith style leash where it's just long as you can ever ask for. but he deserves a segment of it. Like, we should be a little bit more chill. I think they did have a calculated gamble coming in where it's, you know, we can be okay here. We got a good enough team to at least threaten for the playoffs, to be good enough with what we have before we can actually put the people we want in place. But yeah, it kind of blew up in their face, that strategy, just a little bit. And maybe they didn't have enough time, but maybe they should have just done it anyway.
We do have a clip from the press conference that was happening when Kipper and Bourne were still on the air. So we have a comment from Steos on Daniel Alfredsson, which I still think is very interesting. We focus a lot on, you know, obviously the head coach coming in and what that's going to do. But it's very interesting about Alfredsson because he's like, you know, a legend, as we all said. So here's Steve Steos actually talking about Alfredsson a little earlier today in their press conference.
Alfie brings, a great deal of leadership and respect to our group. He's done a great job with our team in a number of areas already and with the individuals. And in typical Alfie fashion, when I brought the idea to him as far as coming on full time, he's willing to do whatever it takes for the Ottawa Senators.
Do you think there's anything like long term, like as a coach, on that bench? Or
I don't
know. Is there still the Leafs do it, and they give everyone assistant to the regional manager roles, like Dwight Schrute.
I think it feels to me like Alfie's got to decide what he wants to do. Because, if they're just like, hey, you know, we'll leave it all open, and we want you to decide where you go. And Brent mentioned, is it partly player development? No, he'd never be the GM. Mm-hmm. Does he actually want to be on the road with the team at all times? Alfie's wants to be involved, but he kind of has to pick the lane he wants to be in because they're just going to give it to him, right? Mm-hmm. And they see the value, and why wouldn't they give it to him? He's a franchise legend and a guy who knows a ton about winning hockey. But at a certain point, can't be like, hey, Alfie, can we bother you to be the assistant coach for the next 60 games? It's going to be like, what do you want, Alfie? Let's do it. Let's move forward. Let's build around you. And until they have that, then they're just kind of working with less than a full deck.
I know we talked a lot about the coaching being the issue. I mean, it felt like at some point they just needed to do this, right? I don't know why it was Monday, December 18th, but it felt like it was brewing. I actually talked to a friend of mine who's a Sens fan, Mike, and Mike and Chantel at this Christmas party on the weekend. They're like, Ailish, you got to just tell me about the Sens. Are they going to fire? I'm like, I don't think so. They're very publicly backing DJ Smith. He's like, we just need something. We, as a mm-hmm. Ottawa Senators fan base, we need a change. We need something to happen. So I'm sure he's happy today on Monday. But it just felt like it's like hitting your head and hitting your head, and it was time that something changed.
Yeah, it couldn't be more obvious that something had to change. And if you look at the numbers, they're not terrible. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're the shooting percentage is way down or the save percentage is killing them. I know Brent mentioned that the goaltending hasn't been great, but maybe it's been more the last 6 weeks where it hasn't been great. It hasn't killed them. What's killed them is the system stuff. What's killed them is power plays and penalty kills, special teams that just don't get it done.
So some of the most important things in your team.
But exactly. It's just it's the stuff that the coach was responsible for, it seems like. It's not what was happening in Edmonton where Jack Campbell didn't belong in the league anymore and Stuart Skinner couldn't do much better until Knobloch took over. It's just not the same as that. It was on the coaching staff. There's so much talent on that team. There is competent goaltending, at least on that team, and it still wasn't working. And when you scratch off all the other risk list or all of the other things on the list that could be to blame, and the only one left that hasn't been scratched off is DJ Smith, then eventually you just got to scratch him off the list. And they've finally done that. And I guess December 18th, you know, if they didn't do it today, a week before Christmas, then a week after
That's
Christmas,
true. You
have to wait another 2 weeks.
So they play the Sens tomorrow. They do play the Sens tomorrow. They play the Coyotes tomorrow night, so okay. Then they play the Avs. Then they got the Penguins, who we just saw are pretty much lifeless. Then they play the Maple Leafs, and that's always a big one that you always elevate to. So 4 games from now, they're playing the Toronto Maple Leafs here, actually. That's 2 days after Christmas. That will be a event. You know, obviously the Battle of Ontario is a fun one. 2 days after Christmas, people getting Christmas gifts and their stockings, a couple tickets. I think that will be a fun one. Maybe by then we'll fully can start to see the pieces of this new regime looking. But I think it's going to take, as you know, Brent was saying, maybe 20 games or so. But we see them in 4.
Yeah, and to the future of Jacques Martin, it's been kind of hit or miss lately. He hasn't had a big time job in a while. He's been assistant coach for a long time. He's recently worked in the Ontario Hockey League. This guy is several years removed.
Who would be the equivalent of a Leafs coach, quickly, I'm putting you on the spot, to come back all the way around and take over the head coaching job?
Oh, gosh.
We should have talked.
We don't really have
the
options.
Yeah.
Ron Wilson?
Someone to come back and take on this team. We'll take a look.
The Leafs don't need it right now.
They don't.
That's the reality.
Luckily, they're in a good spot. All right. Well, that was fun. Glad to be back on the Fan pregame. We got a big one, Monday Night Hockey, of course. We're teaming that up, Montreal, Winnipeg, and then Florida and Calgary a little later on. And then we'll be back tomorrow on Tuesday. The Leafs are back in action. We'll chat with you guys then.